بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا شارف عارف بالله هذا شاهد محمد أختر ساب رحمه الله تعالى تري دربي ترى بندا بأمي دي كرم آية کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا ہمارے زندگی کا وقت مغتنم آیا کرم سے رب کعبہ کے دعایا رد نہیں ہوتی نظر کے سامنے قسمت سے میری ملتزم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا ہماری زندگی کا وقت مغتنم آیا یہاں کا ذرہ ذرہ مظہر انوار کعبہ ہے یہ مالک کا کرم ہے اس پہ جو اس کے حرم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پہ تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ ترے در پہ تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا زبان شکر قاصر ہے لغت میں دم نہیں اختر زبان شکر قاصر ہے لغت میں دم نہیں اختر میرے امید سے زیادہ نظر ان کا کرم آیا کرم سے ان کے میرے سامنے ان کا حرم آیا ہمارے زندگی کا وقت موتنم آیا
الرحمن الرحيم. This is the ash'ar of Hazrat Maulana Haji Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawwar Allahu Man Qadahu. Hazrat Maulana is showing us the love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's bringing the picture of when he presented himself in front of the Kaaba Sharif. So he's saying, Karam se unke mere samne unka haram aya, that nothing is from our side. Everything is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is out of the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala brings one in the haram, in front of the Kaaba. And then he's saying, Hamari zindagi ka waqt-e-muhtanam aya. That now I'm in front of the Kaaba. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how we have the masajid, but obviously the Kaaba has its status that one salah a day, 100,000 times multiplied. Being in the Kaaba, just looking at the Kaaba, a person gets sawab. Even a person sometimes is tired, he doesn't have the energy to make any ibadah, just to sit and look at the Kaaba. Ulama mentioned that at the Kaaba is like a fountain where all the nur and tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falling. In the hadith is mentioned that from the 60% goes to that person that is reading salah, then 40% goes to those that are making tawaf, and then there's a percentage for just that person that is just looking at the Kaaba. In another poem it's mentioned that a famous poem of Layla and Majnu, that he mentioned that he used to go around the city kissing the walls of the city. And somebody asked him that, why do you do this? So he says, وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. That I'm not going to the city and kissing the walls of the city because of the city itself, but rather my heart is attached to the one that is staying in the city. Obviously he done it for the wrong love, but when we make in tawaf of the Kaaba, then think of it, this is the bait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going around searching for my Rabb. Allah ta'ala brought me right in front of the Kaaba just to share His love with me. So I'm here, and I'm going around the Kaaba, and I'm kissing the Hajra Aswad, and I'm making istilam to the Hajra Aswad, not because it's a stone, not because any other reason, but because this is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama mentioned that one of the greatest lessons from the Kaaba is anything that is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has value. You attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you also will have value. They say a brick, one brick can be used in the bathroom, in the toilet. Nobody will give it any significance. Rather people will say that this brick is dirty, it's napak. If it touches me, I need to go bath, I need to go wash myself off. They say another brick is taken and used in the masjid. How much value of that brick now is in the eyes of the person? Now think of that brick and that cement that is used on the Kaaba. So that thing that is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the value of it increases. So he's saying that now Allah ta'ala brought me in His presence. This is not just any time, this is a valuable time now because the focus and the attention of my Allah is on me. And we can understand this from an easy example. You go as a guest to somebody. Your host tries to fulfill every need of yours. And according to the dictates of Sharia, for 3 days it's your right that the host has to fulfill every wish of yours. So now think of it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your host. And you, the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every wish is going to be your desire. Whatever you desire, Allah ta'ala will make it happen for you. Karam se ya Rabbe Kaaba ke du'aya rad nahi hoti. That one of the things is when you there, Allah ta'ala says, does not turn anybody away. It comes in the Quran, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. One of the bad actions of the evil people was to turn away the beggars. So if Allah Ta'ala is advising us not to turn away a beggar, and if you go begging in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can Allah Ta'ala turn you down? He'll never ever turn you down. We learn from the Khanqa itself that Allah Ta'ala made it so easy for us, He gave us our own begging bowl. And when you look at your hand and you make him dua, then you say, oh Allah, my hand, my begging bowl is also broken. Whatever you're going to give me is going to fall through. But oh Allah, you fill my begging bowl. I'm putting my begging bowl in front of you. وَلَا تَغُدَّنِي خَائِبِينَ. Oh Allah, do not turn me away without my dua being accepted. So Hazrat Mawlana is mentioning that one of the virtues and one of the highlights of being in the Kaaba, being in the Haram Sharif, your dua, whatever dua you make, it's never turned away. نظر کے سامنے قسمت سے میری ملتظم آیا. And then one is you in the haram, one is you looking at the Kaaba, and one is now you between the Hajar al-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba. This is known as the multazam. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whatever dua you make at this place, it's not going to be turned away. So much so that you put your chest against the Kaaba and you make dua and you cry your heart out, you connect yourself to Baytullah. But as we mentioned, it's not Baytullah, rather to Allah Ta'ala itself. So this is a spot where your dua is going to be accepted. So Mawlana is mentioning that Allah Ta'ala out of His mercy brought you into the Haram. Allah Ta'ala out of His mercy brought you to the Kaaba. And now Allah Ta'ala out of His mercy brought you to the Multazam. As if to say, ask my servant, whatever you want, I will fulfill every need of yours. یہاں کا ذرہ ذرہ مظہر انوار کعبہ ہے. That everywhere you're going to look, and we should have this now mind, although you have the clock tower and this distraction and that distraction, there can be no greater distraction than the Kaaba itself. Everything else you must become oblivious of. And everywhere you look, the only thing must be the Kaaba. So you're right there, how can you look at something else? I remember in the initial days, we learned that somebody came in time of Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Somebody came and told him that, Hazrat, I'm looking at these Indonesian women and how beautiful they look in their white burqa here in front of the Kaaba. Hazrat told him that you in front of the Kaaba, instead of looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are you looking at? Focus your attention to the Rabb of everything else. Focus your attention to the Rabb of, to your Rabb, Allah Ta'ala, and forget everything else. So Imam Mawlana is saying that whatever you look at, your attention must be focused on the Kaaba itself. Here also, ulama mentioned that when you start your salah, one of the intentions to make is, oh Allah, I'm linking myself up with the Kaaba. And throughout your salah, your attention must be focused on the Kaaba. Your heart will get connected to the Kaaba. So although the Kaaba is miles and miles away, your heart is connected to the Kaaba and your heart is connected to Rabbi Kaaba. Inshallah, your whole life will now become focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your whole life will be now worried of how my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be happy with me. یہ مالک کا کرم ہے اس پہ جو اس کے حرم آ رہے. It's only out of the sheer mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is brought in front of the Kaaba. Mawlana is repeating this few times because in the next sentence is going to talk about making shukr of this ni'mah. Every ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. But he's saying now Allah ta'ala brought you, what you can say, into close proximity, made you a special VIP in front of his house. So have this realization in your mind. Then he says, اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پھر کہا جائے تیرے بننا. That every servant of Adam alayhi salam is a sinner, but each one knows himself the darkness in their own heart. Each person knows what sin that he has. And Mawlana is saying that now, I am such a sinful person. A lesson for all of us to take. We think with it, no, I'm in front of the haram, I'm somebody big, I'm somebody great. Look at these people, what they are doing. Me, alhamdulillah, I make ihtiram of everything. Look at how these people are disrespecting. But at the same time, yes, the wrong is there. But remember, they are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you are a guest, they are also the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and somebody else is invited to somebody's house. You can't shout his guest in front of him. He'll get offended. So in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you focus your attention that, oh Allah, I'm your guest. I don't want to do anything that's going to make my relationship with you get tarnished. I don't want to do anything wrong that's going to affect minds in your relationship, and be oblivious of everything else. Make dua for the wrong that you see there. Oh Allah, remove this wrong. Oh Allah, the cameras, the phones, the selfies. Remove all the, but your attention is just between you and your Allah. So he's saying that every person knows what sin is in their life, but Allah Ta'ala brought you in front of his door. Agarche pur khata, full of sin, drenched with sin, drowning in sin. But Allah Ta'ala still called you his servant. Allah Ta'ala still made it possible for you to be in front of his house. Tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed karam aaya. And then you brought in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because you're great, but because you have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, out of his grace and mercy, brought you to the Kaaba. In that same hope and that grace that Allah Ta'ala must enter you into Jannah in the year after, inshallah. So a person always has to have hope that looking, oh Allah, I'm such a sinful person. You brought me here to your house. Oh Allah, let me be the same grace when I'm passing away. The kalima must be on my tongue. Oh Allah, when I wake up on the day of Qiyamah, let it be, I must be with a pious. So Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, let it be that I'm blessed under your arsh. Oh Allah, let it be that I'm from Ashabul Yameen, Ashabul Maymana, that I'll be from among Ashabul Jannah. That, oh Allah, the same mercy you're looking at me with, the same eye of mercy that you have focused on me, let it last throughout my whole life. And at the same time, a lesson is that to take that if Allah Ta'ala hates so much mercy and I'm a sinful person, how can I still be committing sins? Allah Ta'ala brought me close to him. Now out of that love that Allah Ta'ala is showing to me, I have to give up that sins that is in my life. Then Mu'ana is saying, Zaban shukran qasir hai. That the tongue can't find the words to show how much shukr there is that Allah Ta'ala made the person come in front of the Kaaba. The language, lughat mein dam nahi hai akhtar. That the language itself won't have enough words to express the joy and express the shukr for being in front of the Kaaba, to be a special VIP guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying, but deep down you still must make shukr that, oh Allah, you brought me. No ni'mat of yours is anything because of my doing. It's not my wealth that brought me here. It's nothing, not my intelligence. Oh Allah, it's your karam, it's your mercy. So no matter how much we try to express that shukr, we can't, because it's out of the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he only brings who he wishes to come there. You find many a people, the millionaires, billionaires, and they haven't been to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah. And you see other people that what you say, they're loving to hand and mouth, but Allah Ta'ala makes it very often they go. And وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. You make shukr on the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will increase you. So when you go there, and even when you're reading salah, and your attention is focused on the Kaaba, then make shukr for it. And the more shukr you make, Allah Ta'ala will increase the ni'mah. And Allah Ta'ala will make it such that the only, you won't say the holiday, but the only thing that you look forward for traveling to is to travel to Haramain Sharifain, Masjid al-Aqsa, because these are the two points of value in the world. Everywhere else, whether it be Dubai, whatever it is, got no value. This is the true value. So وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. You go there, you make shukr, Allah Ta'ala will increase it for you. And you always have this fervor that, oh Allah, I want to be in front of your house. Allah Ta'ala will make it possible for you. And then Mu'ana ends off and he says, Mary Ummi says, Yada nazar unka karam aya. did more than what my hopes. I found that Allah Ta'ala fulfilled it more than what I want. What I expected, my expectations, Allah Ta'ala was gave me more than what I expected. Or you can even translate it, oh Allah, I see so much now, but oh Allah, I have hope for even more. Oh, we mentioned that now a sunnah is in front of the Kaaba. Oh Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, I have that same nazar, have that same mercy, have that same grace focused upon me. So Allah Ta'ala make it such that we connect ourselves to those things that is connected to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, whether it be the Ahlullah, whether it be the Baytullah, whether it be the Masajid of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala connect us to those things that are going to connect us to Him. And Allah Ta'ala make it such that when we pass away, Allah Ta'ala show us His special mercy and His special focus, that inshallah we will enjoy the most, what do you say, honorable gift of Jannah, and that is the nazar of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala accept from me and then everybody else.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, amma ba'd. Reading from the Kitab Hayatul Muslimin of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, in which he mentions 25 amal and actions by which the ummah can come out from the problems. Ruh number 23, Sabr and Shukr. Among the attributes essential for man's spiritual as well as worldly progress and prosperity is sabr, patience and shukr, gratitude. The conditions and circumstances which occur to man, be it voluntary or involuntary, are of two types, pleasing or displeasing. If the circumstances occurring to man are pleasing, he should consider these as favors from Allah Ta'ala and offer his heartfelt appreciation and gratitude. He should consider such bounties more than what he actually deserves, and verbally he should recite the praises of Allah Ta'ala. Furthermore, he must not employ such bounties of Allah Ta'ala in sinful avenues. Example, spending wealth in un-Islamic customs, using one's strength, influence and knowledge in ways disliked by the Shariat. This is the meaning of shukr. On the other hand, the circumstances arising may be displeasing, causing anxiety and difficulty to one. When man is confronted with such conditions, he should consider that in these difficult conditions, Allah Ta'ala has placed some benefit which cannot be discerned ordinarily, normally. Such conditions are subject to Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, and they are for the betterment of the one involved in the displeasing condition. The attitude of the believer in such circumstances should be one of resignation. He should not complain nor display impatience. If the displeasing occurrence is a command of the Sharia, he should adhere to it firmly and not permit frustration and worry to overtake him. If the condition is some calamity which has befallen him, he must bear it with firmness and not be overwhelmed by becoming despondent. This is the meaning of sabr. Of the two attributes, sabr is the more difficult one. This attribute is much more in demand, since man is confronted more with the circumstances which are displeasing and difficult to him. As example, some conditions of displeasure will be cited here. Number one, the nafs of man becomes agitated and perplexed at the imposition of dini duties which have to be fulfilled. It thus attempts to escape such acts which are commanded by Allah Ta'ala. It desires the commission of haram and seeks a release from the obligations of salat, fasting, etc. It becomes displeased when an unlawful source of income has to be stopped. It feels a great burden in discharging the rights of others. In such cases, man has to adopt courage and suppress the evil urges and dictates of the nafs. He has to overcome his urges of the nafs and proceed with the command, execution of the command of Allah Ta'ala, irrespective of the difficulty the nafs suffers. Such displeasure and apparent difficulty will be short-lived. Firmness in harnessing the nafs into obedience will very quickly produce comfort and peace. The initial displeasure will be transformed into pleasure. Secondly, the calamities of poverty, sickness, death, persecution by enemies, loss of property, etc. When confronted by such misfortunes, reflect on the possible wisdoms underlying these calamities. The greatest benefit to be achieved from such displeasing conditions is thawab from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has promised great reward for the believer overtaken by calamities. When such calamities befall man, he should not unnecessarily publicize them, nor should he meditate on these misfortunes. He should not make these misfortunes the occupation of his mind.
Adoption of this attitude will create peace in the heart. However, if there are lawful ways and means of combating the calamity, these should be adopted. Thirdly, an oppressor creating obstacles in the way of deen. One is stopped by an unjust person in the execution of one's Islamic duties or attempts are made to bring insults on the deen. When confronted by such opposition, the mu'min holds life cheap. Do not consider life to be of any importance in the endeavor to elevate the word of Allah Ta'ala. But this does not mean the creation of anarchy, facade based on desire. Even in the endeavor to uphold the Shariat, the law of Allah Ta'ala must not be violated. The above are some examples of conditions in which sabr has to be adopted. Now some narrations and some ayat of the Quran-i-Kareem will be cited. Inshallah, we will continue next week.